This is an AMI podcast.
Welcome to Double Tap Canada, the show where blind people talk tech. Have your say. Call us, text us to 844-971-1999. That's 844-971-1999. Tweet us at Double Tap Canada and find us on Facebook. Just search for Double Tap Canada. Now here's your favorite Double Tappers.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Double Tap Canada. It is I, Stephen Scott, back with you again. And I've got Sean Priest with me this week. Hello, Sean Priest.
Hello, Stephen. You sound chirpy today. I like that. You're happy. What's going on?
I honestly don't know what's going on. I haven't had a single coffee yet.
How are you alive? That's crazy.
I don't know what it is. I think it's the fizzy juice, which is creating other problems. Let's just say thank goodness for the mute button. Burp. Yeah, so a lot of that going on. I tell you, this soft drink thing is just awful, you know. And I'm a bit addicted at the moment. I go through these little phases of drinking lots and lots of soft drinks.
I do, yeah.
And then I just can't take them anymore, you know? I don't think you've ever got to that experience yet, have you?
No. I've never had too much. I know the first time I met you, Stephen, I was amazed by how much water you carried around with you. Everywhere you had bottles of water all the time. Was that just a fad? Was that a one-time thing?
No, I am one of these people who, like, I have a coffee and then I have a bottle of water and then I have a soft drink and then I have a bottle of water. I'm always
in the toilet
flushing.
Yeah.
Yes. Self-flushing, that's why I like to call it.
It's good for
anyway,
you.
Anyway, wow, welcome to this. This is, you know, I need that voiceover to say, kind of right about now, this is a tech show, honest.
Yes, just we do.
But in saying that, yeah. No. So hey, how was your week? You're excited? Because we're travelling to that there, Canada.
Oh, I am. Time. So excited. I mean, I can't wait. I'll be honest with you, I am slightly anxious, you know. It's been years since I've gone anywhere on a plane. I mean, I don't know what to expect. Can you still smoke on a plane? Is that a thing? Apparently not. No, so that's how long ago it was. But I am so excited. I'm looking forward to it. I'm packing my kit away. I'm, deciding what tech I need to take.
Do you know something? I am. We're going to talk about some of the kit later that I've been looking at because I think I know what I'm buying when I get back from Canada. My shopping list has already started.
Oh,
I've seen some new tech that's coming out, and I want to get it. And the funny thing is that I've been looking online, and I can't see this anywhere. Some of this stuff isn't even out yet, but it's all on Amazon. And I'm like, Amazon, it's not even out yet, and Amazon have got it. How does that work?
I just don't get it. It's incredible.
So, yes, we're talking about some of that kit shortly. But, yes, this is the thing, right? Packing up and getting ready to go on any trip, I find it incredibly anxiety-filling. And I don't quite know why, because really all I'm doing is just putting clothes in a bag. But the problem is that you have to count out everything, right? You've got to think, right, have I got enough for this? And I don't know if you do this, but I always, when I'm going away a big trip, I'm thinking, right, okay, how many days am I away? Okay, hang on, how many nights am I away? Right, hang on. And therefore, okay, so how many pairs of pants do I need? How many pairs of socks do I need?
Of course, yes.
All these things that you have to
think
about.
The essentials.
But it's as if there's absolutely nothing I could do about this abroad. I mean, there are stores in Canada, I've heard. I mean, Mark's not with us this week, so I can't ask him. But I do believe there are those things called stores.
I believe so, yes. Yeah, I know, but there is that extra consideration, right? It's not like we can just quickly nip out and find a shop, right? We got to plan everything, particularly if you're in a country where, you know, you've never been before and you don't know what is there. So it's not quite as simple as...
That's what I did. I did that in Vegas. I just Uber Best Buy. Where's the nearest one? I must admit, when we went to the Best Buy, my assistant Jane, who's also coming with us on this holiday. On holiday, it's not holiday. How dare I say holiday? Work yep. event.
Work, yes.
Freudian that was a slip. Freudian, wasn't it? But yes, my assistant Jane comes with me to Las Vegas, and I said to her, we're going to Best Buy. She says, okay. So we get in the Uber, and I just literally picked the first one I came to. You know, I just thought, right, well, they'll all be the same. And we got in the Uber car, and this wonderful woman was driving us along the road to get to it. And she says, are you sure you want to go here? And I said, yeah, it's Best Buy. I said, I just want to basically look around the electricals and see what you guys have got over here. And she's like, yeah, but you want to go to this Best Buy?
Hang on. Weren't alarm bells ringing at this point?
Well, at that point, we did sort of both lean forward and say, what's wrong with this Best Buy exactly? And she said, well, you don't have a gun handy, do you? And I'm like, whoa, hang on, what? What kind of place is this? And apparently I'd picked somewhere that was way off the tourist trail. And frankly, this was the kind of place that, you know, if you walk out with, you know, lots of bags, you might get targeted, you know? And I was like, wow, okay, I did not know that. And of course, that's what local knowledge brings.
I think that was the Uber just messing with you. I bet she was giggling away.
My assistant, Jane, was absolutely, she is fully sighted, and she did attest to the fact she was a little concerned for her life. Just a little. But we're from Glasgow in Scotland, so we're not that scared of our lives.
Everything's fine, yes.
Look, I mean, our average age is 25 or something, so, you know, we're lucky to be here, frankly.
Life expectancy, that is not...
We've exceeded, yeah, exactly. Yes. We've exceeded it already, so we're doing well. So, yes, I do realise that going shopping can be a bit of a difficult thing. But no, look, I mean, I'm kind of joking around, but the point is that, you know, getting ready to go, you do have to, you're right, you have to think ahead, you've got to make sure you've got everything. So here's the big question, right? So aside all that, what tech are you bringing? Because this is the real question. What tech are you taking?
That's another thing, right? I mean, I hate carrying, I got a suitcase, a big drag behind you suitcase, trolley suitcase, fine. But I hate carrying that stuff around. I've got to get on a train with that thing and I'm always worried about, well, is someone just going to walk off with it at the next stop? You know, I got to chain it to my foot or something. And then when you're dragging it around, you got, oh, that in that hand, and then you got your cane in the other hand. It's a pain. It just gets in the way.
Especially if you've chained your suitcase to your foot. That can be rather annoying.
Exactly.
But what kind of movies are you watching? You're watching too many gangster films, I think.
Well, hang on. You just went to the Wild West in Las Vegas and to some sort of bandit Best Buy. You can't say that. Anyway, so the tech, I'm thinking, how much do I really need to tech, right? Because the thing is, like in every other aspect of life, surely the smartphone does everything I need it to do anyway. Because I'm thinking, well, should I take a laptop? Well, what's the need? I don't think I need one. And then, you know, that takes up quite a lot of space. At the end of the day, I'm thinking of just taking my iPhone and my spare iPhone, and that's it. What else do I need?
I don't think you'll need very much, to be honest. I mean, you know, I'm taking my MacBook with me because I just like having it with me. I know I'll need to get some stuff done. Also, we are going to be recording some shows out there, as well as our main purpose, which is for Double Tap TV Town Hall, which is why we're going.
Yeah.
We're going to be recording some shows for Double Tap Canada as well, so you can look forward to that. And hey, you never know, this very program may be coming to you from... Where are we going? Regina, next week. And that would be cool, right?
Saskatchewan. Yes. So,
yeah.
Well, the thing is, thank you. The thing is, don't get us kicked out before you even get there. That's the thing, right? The only reason I would need my laptop if I was going to do any work over there, as in audio editing, and you're going to take your MacBook, so there's really no need for me to do it. And if I don't take it, you can't then say, oh, Sean, can you quickly edit that? So I got an excuse. I honestly don't know. And the other thing as well is probably the most use I'm going to get from the tech is actually during the flights, right? Because we're flying for a long time. So it's all about sort of entertaining myself, distracting myself during that. And again, do I really want to take a laptop with me for that when I can just listen to audio described content through the phone or listen to an audio book? You know, that's all it's going to be, right? So
yeah, this is the problem. You kind of think, oh, I want to take all this stuff with me. And then you think, well, take what? What do I actually need? And, you know, for you and I, yeah, you're right. I mean, if this was a holiday, I wouldn't take anything more than my phone. I remember the first time we went on a cruise, I took my laptop with me. And my wife was kind of like, why are you taking that? Because to her, that just signifies work.
Yeah.
And I guess it does, right? But for me, I much prefer emails and stuff. I just prefer doing any text-based stuff on the MacBook. I've always preferred that. And I'm like, no, I mean, I might need to send an email. And I'm thinking, well, hang on a minute. What email am I going to send while I'm sailing the seven seas? I mean, this is ridiculous.
That's going to be
barely getting signal.
Long enough that you need a physical keyboard that you can't just dictate quick email, you know?
It's all nonsense. You can just take your phone with you. You can just take a pair of decent headphones, maybe wired, so you're not killing the battery. But, you know, I mean, again, a good portable battery pack as well. That's always handy to have.
That's essential.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. I mean, I'm taking out some extra kit with me because we're going to be doing the shows. So I'm taking my little Rodecaster Pro mixer with me, taking a couple of pair of headsets, so we've got the ability to
record
our shows.
Yeah, I'm taking a headset as well, yeah.
But that's it, really. I mean, there's not much else I need to bring. I think Mark wants to bring his entire house with him. And I'm like, well, that's cool, you do that. You're much nearer Regina than we are. So, you know, that's okay. But, yeah, I think it's really interesting, isn't it, when you start to sort of dig into the tech. What I have found I need to make sure I have plenty of, and there's one thing I did buy specifically for the trip, is charger capability when I get there. So I got this little thing from Ugreen, which is a brand on Amazon that I see quite a lot. And this is an incredible little device. I've got it over here. So it comes with, I would say it's like the size of an Apple TV. That's the size of it. It's quite chunky as well, quite heavy.
It is.
It's got the weirdest sandpapery bottom I've ever felt. It's got a nice, shiny plastic top. But that's just horrible. Anyway, it's got this...
Are you filing your nails with it there?
If I could. There you go. But yeah, this is cool. So it's got four USB-Cs and two USB-As and a combined power capability of 200 watts.
Wow.
This can actually not only power your iPhone, your Apple Watch, you know, your AirPods. You can actually plug in your MacBook straight into this and it will charge the MacBook Pro, the one I've got. It will charge that with this as well. So this is a really powerful piece of kit to take away with you. So I've got this. I've got my little plug adapter. Have you got one of those changers? Have you got the little UK to Canadian plug?
Of course
plug?
Not. No, I'll be stealing yours. I didn't even
Well, that's
even
why
think.
I bought two. Because I knew it. I knew you wouldn't bring yours.
Thank you, Mother.
Honestly, I said, I better get another one because I know Sean will be trying to whip one out of me. So, yes, this is it. So, but this is a great little thing. And I've got one of these, and I've also got, and you've seen this as well. I showed you this in London. It's the weirdest thing, but it's like in this little bag, and it is like a fold-out charger, which has got MagSafe for the phone. It's got the AirPods, a little dock essentially for the AirPods to go into, although it's wireless. And you can connect your Apple Watch to it. All that can plug straight into the Ugreen. So basically, I have one unit with me that will power everything I have. And I think that's all I need. You know, that's kind of pretty cool.
How big? Sorry, so the Apple TV one.
Yeah.
How much was that one?
So that came in just over $200.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
I know,
so,
I know. It's not the cheapest thing in the world.
Yeah, but
in fact, no, I tell you a lie. It was $180. I tell you a lie. It was $180, an absolute bargain. That's right.
That
it was
makes
$180.
All the difference. Yeah,
I think it's because I bought something else. The price went over $200. nothing to do with this. But yeah, $180 for this, and it's actually, I mean, that's a lot of money for what this is. But at the end of the day, it is actually a really powerful charger. And when you are on the move, when you are traveling, and you know what, I do plan to be traveling more. This is going to be great. The other thing for me is, I've got my Rodecaster Pro, which is my little mixing desk. Now, that doesn't natively work off USB. You need to get a special adapter for that. I did buy the adapter, which allows me to plug it into a USB-A. Right. That can run off this as well. So I don't even need to take the... And again, this is the whole thing, right? I then don't have to take lots and lots of different plugs to change. I can just run off everything. Because everything, pretty much, when you think about it, runs off USB. Yeah. I mean, in our world anyway, right?
USB is amazing, right? You, it doesn't get enough praise. It's been around for ages as well, but USB truly is universal. I mean,
well, for
get
power
it in
delivery
everything.
Now, especially, right? I mean, the power delivery side of it, and it's so swift. I mean, it's much quicker than well, any other way. Frankly, it's much quicker than MagSafe or any of the rest.
Well, how long would that run the EcoGreen thing? How long would that run? Let's say the Rodecaster mixer.
Well, if it's powered, I mean, this is powered on all the time, remember, it's not a battery pack. So this is plugged into the wall.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes, of course. Yeah, yeah.
So it's not a battery pack. So
I thought it would have that
into the
capability
wall.
As well.
No, it doesn't actually, no. But again, does that really bother me? Everywhere I'm going to be, I mean, obviously on the move, that's different. I do have I got one of those little anchor, power banks.
Yeah,
which I've been charging up, and that does the job for that. But it actually is kind of nice. I don't feel like I'm taking, you know, the entire house with me this time around.
Yes.
And about a billion cables. I've just kept it really, really simple.
I was thinking as well, shall I take the Echo Dot with me?
Other people say this. I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced about this, the whole, you know, taking Echo Dots, because it's not going to work when you get there.
I don't know. Yeah, in a different country, I don't know. But you can just use the app, again, on your smartphone or on your laptop, the Lady A app.
True.
So... don't need it.
And you're taking a PC with you. I was laughing so much when he said that. Oh, he's taking a PC with him. Oh, well, good luck. You're bringing the 8,000-watt power brick with it as well. Stick around. More to come on Double Tap Canada.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, Double Tappers, want to get involved? Call the show now at 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca and have your say. This is Double Tap Canada. It's a tech show. Honest.
It is. And today it's Sean and I. No Mark this week. Unfortunately, he is. Well, I think he's probably getting a haircut because he keeps telling me to get a haircut. I did get a haircut for my little trip abroad.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you get a haircut?
No. Sorry, I find it... No, well, personally, I find it offensive that Mark says we need a haircut. I mean, who's he to tell me that I need a haircut, Stephen?
He's sighted. He can see.
Yes, well, there you go. In my head, I look beautiful, and I'm going off that.
Oh, no, I too have that image in my head, but I also have enough vision to have seen myself on Double Tap TV. I get his point.
Do you ever try and look in the mirror still?
I do. The problem is I kind of see almost a cartoon. I feel more like an emoji when I look in the mirror.
Absolutely right.
Do you know what I mean? It's like you see a character of yourself rather than the true picture.
I just make it up in my head whenever I look in the mirror. It could be, you know, Brad Pitt. It could be anything. It could be the Elephant Man. It's no reflection on reality.
I think it's less Brad Pitt, more armpit, to be perfectly honest about it. I think that's probably true. Hey, look, I have been... quite excited because very rarely do I get excited about new tech because there's not that much going on, right? It always feels like there's never much new tech to buy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that actually is a few things that are coming out that I'm quite intrigued by. And of course, one of them, needless to say, Sean, is keyboards.
Now, okay. I've got to say, I'm slightly... I don't know whether to say this before I know what one you're excited about, but... I'm going off Logitech keyboards a little bit. There, I've said
it. Oh, what?
I've said it. You know what? The options, Logitech options software. Come on, Logitech. Get into accessibility.
Awful.
Get with it, will you? It's terrible.
Do you know what's worse? They've just brought out a new version. So there was like a sneak peek thing you could get on the Mac where you could get a sneak peek at the new style. I've seen this on other apps on Mac as well. It's like, you know, we've redesigned the app. You know, have a go at it first and see what you think.
Yeah.
And you can switch back if you don't like it. And I thought, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe it'll be more refined. Maybe more accessible. Nah, not really. It's not much better. I mean, it's a little bit better. The focus isn't quite as wildly drifting on it. I mean, it feels on the original Logitech options, on the Mac side anyway, that it just is not able to, you know, get focus on any button at all or any control. It's as if, I don't know how they've done it. It just doesn't seem to be able to grab any focus. Whereas the newer one, you can grab a little bit more focus. But to be honest, the only thing I really ever use that app for until I learned about Function Escape was to lock the function key.
Yep.
But you don't need to do that. Just function Escape and that'll do it.
Yeah, but it doesn't work on my keyboard. If I press Function Escape, it locks the keyboard.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
What do you mean, what, locks the keyboard so you can't use it?
It does the Windows lock. So
I
got to sign in again.
That's interesting.
I don't know how to do that. I do know how to do that. I need to install the software and then I can use that function. But the point is that aside from that, the software should be accessible. There is apps, and it's not just the keyboard, right? The Logitech webcam software as well. An absolute nightmare to navigate using the screen reader. There's just no excuse for it. The size that they are, Logitech, they should be held more accountable to it. So I'm going to start shouting at them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And well done for bringing it up because it's a good point.
Thank you.
I'm so sick of these software sometimes. I mean, I get it on the Mac, and I'll be honest, I almost tend to expect an app not to be accessible on the Mac. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
The Mac generally is an operating system where applications, I would say, are probably more likely to be inaccessible than accessible. And that's a sad state of affairs. It's not the case for the OS, obviously, and there's been lots of conversations going on in our community about the state of VoiceOver and accessibility on the Mac and all of that.
Yeah.
But the more I dig into it, I download an app from, say, the App Store, and I think to myself, please, 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 because all I get is, I mean, what I'll get if it's inaccessible is close, minimize, maximize button, and that's it. And it just goes around in a loop constantly because basically it cannot see the web or any kind of content in the frame of the app. So that's a problem. Now, interestingly, when I got this new microphone, this Shure MV7, I thought, when I was actually getting the app, I had to get the app installed for it to work. And I was glad I did because it was a firmware update that fixed an immediate problem the microphone had, which was that the audio coming from the computer, this microphone, you can hook your headphones into the back of the microphone, right? And it means that all your sound from your computer can just come through the mic and you can hear everything. Yeah. So I can hear you, I can hear myself, and I can hear my computer sounds. It's actually really good when you've got voiceover because no longer are you hearing voiceover unless you hear them through my leaky headphones.
Yes.
But other than that, you won't hear it. So that's really good. But I didn't realize that there was a problem with the microphone, but I did think something's not right here. Why am I not? Everything was just really quiet. Anyway, got Ira on the case. The Ira person came on, they took control of the computer. They downloaded the Shure app, and immediately I'm thinking, this will not be accessible. This is just not going to be accessible.
Yeah.
And it actually was. But accessible and usable are always two different things. So, for example, when you go through it, you know, as you move through all the different elements, it's reading through every single element. So, for example, if there's a slider, sometimes visually below a slider, you'll have a sort of visual representation of low to high.
Yes, yes, yes.
It'll read out every single increment.
Oh,
as you move,
wow.
It'll see that as an individual element, and it will read like, you know, low, low, lowest, lowest, high, 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 high. You know, geez, oh, do I need that? Just too much information, basically. So, you know, in that occasion, it did actually work, and I was able to use the app. And in saying that, though, Ira did do a fantastic job. They updated the firmware, and that fixed the problem on the mic. And I don't know what I would have done without them in that situation. But we shouldn't have to rely on that, right? The app should be accessible off the bat. And I don't know what it'd be like on the PC. I don't know. I hope it'd be better.
But, I mean, at least, you know, okay, gave you too much information, too verbose. It wasn't finessed, the accessibility.
Yeah, which is better than less, right?
Absolutely. Better than being blocked out and locked out of using the software at all.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I've said my piece, but I will be emailing Logitech.
After all that, here's the thing. The keyboard I'm interested in is from Logitech.
Of course it is. We love you, Logitech.
They're the greatest. So as you know, MX Keys, my MX Keys keyboard, I am just loving and I've been using for such a long time. And I do think it's one of the greatest keyboards that I've ever used.
Yep.
But you're absolutely right about the software, because the problem
Hardware is good, right?
The hardware is fantastic. The problem with the software, and the reason that it actually is important, is because on the Logitech MX Keys, on the number pad, for example, above the number pad are four extra keys, and you can customize them to be whatever you want. In fact, you can customize the whole function row. Obviously, if you want to use F1 to F12, then that's maybe less important to you. But you can have that additional layer, which you can completely customize. And then you've got those additional four keys above the number pad. The keys above the home and the page up and all the rest of it, those are the switching keys, if you like, to go between all the different, you know, three different devices you're connected to. But those four keys, that can be quite useful. Now, especially because you can, for example, you know, set a macro to do something, or you could have a multi-action where it can do multiple keystrokes at one time. Now, one example of that was I did this week, actually, again with Ira, where I've got this Elgato Stream Deck, and I love the Stream Deck because it's essentially a customizable keyboard. That's what it is.
Yeah.
But it is completely inaccessible. So you do need sighted help. You do need assistance in order to use it. Yeah, it's a nightmare because you can't just set the buttons up the way you want. Everything has to be done by drag and drop. Now, I'm not as au fait with drag and drop on the Mac to be able to do it using VoiceOver. I know some people can do it. I just find it very confusing. But it's even more confusing when you realize that what you're trying to drag onto isn't speaking. So, you know, it is like blind man in the dark trying to drop a set of keys in a very small hole somewhere in a room that's about 10 feet wide, right? It's like, where's the hole? I don't know.
Yes.
A game show that would just be actually quite interesting. Anyway, Netflix can pick that one up. But I see it now. Black Hole, coming soon to Netflix. Yeah, that would work. I like that idea.
Some new Squid Games. Okay, carry on.
Oh, God. Red light, yellow light. So, my thing was I wanted to be able to answer and end calls on the Mac, like some idiot, I know, with my keyboard. And, I mean, yeah, I know, Steve, why can't you just get your mouse and find your way to the top right of the screen and hit the accept button like everybody else? Because I don't use a mouse.
I just think there was, whatever the equivalent of magic tap would be on the iPhone to answer or play pause. I would just think you hit the play pause button on the Mac, which I assume, which is a function key somewhere.
Well, it used to be. And you're absolutely right. That was exactly how it used to work. In fact, that was the first time I thought I'd solved the problem, was when we figured out that you could use this play pause button. But then in the latest edition of Monterey on M1, no, you can't do that anymore. That just doesn't work. So that's my answer and end gone. So I had to create my own. Now, what I did was I called myself about 8 times, trying each time to get focus onto the accept button. Once I got focus on accept, I gave it the option to be a hotspot. So I did VO shift 1, which creates a hotspot at that particular location. And that means every time I press that, as long as that's obviously in view, the voiceover cursor will move to the accept button. So every time a FaceTime call comes in, I can now move using VO1. I can shift myself, I can move myself to that accept button. Now, once I've done that, I then have to do the same process by accepting the call, then find the end button and set that as VO shift 2, which creates the hotspot 2, so that then when I want to end a call, it doesn't apply in so much FaceTime video calls because you can just command W out the window because it opens the whole thing up.
Yeah.
But when you're on a call, you still get that notification area. So you have to get focus on the end button, which you do VO2, takes you to the end button, VO space to activate, right? And that's you've got your setup. So now I can do it. But that's a two-action thing, right? I have to, essentially 4 key commands to be able to work that. So what I wanted to do was set up an answer and end button on my Stream Deck using the multi-action button option. So you can basically create a multi-action, which allows you to have multiple keystrokes if you choose, or multiple actions of any kind, frankly, with Elgato, it's completely customizable. You could have lights going on and off. You could, there's lots of things you can do. But I just wanted it to do the VO1 and then VO space. Set that up as a multi-action. So I got Ira on the case. I mean, that person was so patient as I was trying to explain what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And they were getting a crash course in Stream Deck along the way. But we got it working. And then I called you and I said, I'm going to try hanging up on you, not for the first time. And
yes.
We tried it. It worked. You then called me back and I was able to answer. So I got it working. But I mean, what a faff, right? But the point is, if I could access that software in Logitech, I could actually just put all that onto my keyboard. I could have my answer and end right there.
Yes, absolutely.
Pretty important buttons for me, actually, because I when I'm sitting at my desk, I'm answering and ending calls all day. So, you know, it would be kind of nice to have that option. So this is what I mean. So if the software is not accessible, that's a problem. But here's the thing. So I've been using my MX keys now for a while. And I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. I love that keyboard. But you know me, I'm a bit obsessed with keyboards. The 8,000 keyboards in my cupboard prove that.
Yes.
But then today, I read the news. They're bringing out a new keyboard. MX Mechanical.
Terrible. Oh, what a terrible, terrible idea. Clicky, clacky, noisy nonsense. Oh,
no. Because this time they've said this is not for gamers.
Yes.
This is for coders. This is for people who are using it in a professional environment. So it's not going to have all that RGB nonsense all over it. They're getting rid of all that. It will have backlight, but it's going to be just like the MX keys. It's going to be simple backlight. They're not adding all the colours and the bells and the whistles, which I cannot stand anyway. I just hate all that stuff. I thought I would like it, but it just never caught on with me at all. And they're going to bring all this in. It's going to be available in 2 flavours, the Mechanical Mini and I guess Mechanical Big, although they're just going to call it Mechanical, I think. But
yes,
I'll call it Mechanical Big. And that's, of course, a full-size keyboard with, you know, full number pad and, you know, full customised keys and all that stuff. So I don't know when it's coming out. I think it's due to come out just at the early stage of June, sort of early June. And this is going to cost some serious cash. They're talking this is going to be kind of hitting around about $180.
Oh, come on now.
And about I think about $150 for the Mini. So it's going to be at least a $50 markup on the existing.
Ridiculous. Why? Why are you? What brings Mechanical above your standard keyboard anyway, your non-mechanical?
Well, I think, again, it depends on the key switches. So I think the brown ones, the brown switches are the quietest. They're tactile.
Cherry brown, cherry red, cherry blue, cherry black.
There's all these different colours, and they all represent different levels of, I guess, noise, different levels of feel. I mean, I'd not really get into all this, but I did read that the brown option, the cherry brown, was the most tactile but the most quietest keyboard. So you're going to get the experience of mechanical click. It's not got the spongy feel. You know, I don't know. I quite like the whole mechanical thing. It's the noise I'm not so keen on.
I just get a taste of the Emperor's New Clothes from mechanical keyboards, because I honestly don't think it makes a huge difference for typing. I just don't. I think the quality of non-mechanical keyboards, in the past, there was a huge difference, right? That the other ones felt spongy. It was that little rubber mainframe. Thank you, I can't say it. That was just felt terrible to type on. And mechanical was so much better. But nowadays, I think, you know what? I actually prefer non-mechanical keyboards anyway. I think it's a bit of snobbery to it. That's what I think.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I absolutely don't doubt it. I mean, I'm not a keyboard snob at all. I just love keyboards. I love trying different things out.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got the new iMac I got, you get the touch keyboard, right? Not the touch, magic keyboard with the touch
yes.
ID.
Yeah.
And I've actually got one of those with the extended keyboard as well. So it's got the extended keyboard, really nice with the touch ID. But I just find the key travel, although it's a beautiful keyboard to type on, the key travel is just not, it's just not there. It's so thin. And I just think, you know.
So you prefer the longer key travel?
I think that's what it is. That's why I think that actually the MX keys is probably the best keyboard, because you kind of get that key travel, but silently. And the keys are, I have to tell you, you know, having used a range of different Logitech keyboards, I am continually amazed at how the experience differs from one to the next. I'm always amazed by that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're all different. They're all so different. Every single one of them is totally different to the next.
Well, what the experience is, I think, is that little bit of travel when you press a key, that initial little bit of travel and before you hit the switch, and then you continue on and actually type the character that you want to type is actually pressing the key. So there's a little bit of travel before and then the actual hitting the switch, and it's that tactile feel. So you can sort of press a key and, oh, no, actually, I didn't want to press that one and pull back and it hasn't typed anything. And it's a real personal feeling of, okay, that feels nice, but that doesn't. And, you know, so I don't actually like that. I do like the normal membrane typing anyway. So, yeah, horses for courses. But
It is. But, I mean, I'm going to get one to try, obviously.
I know,
Another
one for the collection.
Well, that's it. You know, and I just think, you know, I kind of, again, love the fact that it's multi-device as well. And that's just,
oh, yes.
I love that about Logitech, and I love these multi-device keyboards. I kind of wish in some ways that's what you could get from the Mac keyboards, but you can't. Just not there.
No.
Anyway, look, that's enough keyboard talk for now. We will talk more about it when I get my hands on it. June 2nd, I believe it's out, the Logitech MX Mechanical Range. We'll talk more in a moment.
Double Tap Canada will be back after this. This is Double Tap Canada. Have your say right now. Call or text 1-844-971-1999 or email feedback@ami.ca. Now, back to the show.
Hey guys, it's Double Tap Canada and it's Stephen and Sean this week. We've been discussing keyboards. I am also intrigued by another device that's coming out in June. June 16th, I believe the release date for this is. This is a bit more of a niche product, even for us. It's the new Rodecaster Pro 2. This is the podcasting mixing console. Finally, the version 2 that we were kind of wondering if it would ever make an appearance has been announced. It was leaked last week, actually. It was a podcast that one of the guys from Rode was on. And I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy from Rode, he was saying essentially in the new version of Rodecaster 2, and everyone's like, what now?
What?
So we were all very intrigued to learn about this. So, you know, I kind of thought this would be dead because of the Rode Connect software. So for people who don't know about this, Rode have a Rodecaster Pro Mixer, which is a physical mixing console that you can plug in four microphones, you can connect up a computer to, you can connect up via TRRS connection, that's the 3.5mm connection, straight to your iPhone or to an Android device or anything with a headphone jack or the ability to connect a headphone jack to an adapter. You've also got Bluetooth on there and you've got sound pads, eight customizable sound pads, so you can play music off them. It's really great for shows like this where you've got little music beds and stuff you want to play in, and you've got a physical fader to fade them out and all the rest of it. Not the way I do it, which is just hit the relevant shortcut key and just let it crash away. It's like down a lift shaft. So this has been around for a while, and you know, I'm sure if Mark was here, he'd be the first to say, you know, yeah, but from a broadcast point of view, it's just not there because it's not got a lot of the broadcast functions,
yeah.
Which is fair, but it's not for broadcasters. It's for podcasters. And what they've realized, I think, is since developing the Rodecaster, that a lot of people in the world of streaming want to get into this. And I'm talking games streaming here, not just people who podcast like you and I or do shows like this. So this new version seems to be much more geared towards content creators, streamers, and lots of other things. So some of the things we know so far about this, which are, there's actually quite a lot that has changed in this device, which is very interesting. Because one thing that's changed is, where before you had those four mic faders, and you could only plug in XLR microphones to them. You could plug in any mic you liked, but it had to be XLR connections. You could also, you had that TRRS connection, and you had the Bluetooth. Pretty much a lot of that has gone now. And what they've done instead is they've kept the, I think it's six faders now they've got on this thing, but they're all completely customizable. So you can choose where you want your microphone to be. You can choose what device you would like on that particular fader. So they've kind of changed the way this works in some ways. So you can still connect for...
A lot of sense, but you still have XLR connectors on there, right? It's not, they haven't changed all that.
No, you still have four XLR connectors, but they are now also instrument jacks as well. You know, that dual connector.
Yes, yes.
So you can plug in line level if you want to as well. You can plug in an instrument. So you can see immediately this is going down the route of musicians, people who want to, you know, play music using a device like this, record as well. Because one of the great things about the podcaster, Procaster, or what was it called? Rodecaster. so mixed up with these names.
No.
But the Rodecaster, one of the joys is when you record with it, everything gets recorded in multi-track. So every single track is recorded independently. Now, for a musician, that is brilliant. For us, as broadcasters, that is brilliant. Because then if your levels are too low, I can, you know, raise them up a little bit in the post edit. Or, for example, if you or I cough, and at a point maybe I cough over something you say, and for once it's interesting,
yes,
then you can obviously take that cough out, yeah, and so on, right?
Yeah.
But they've made some significant changes to the look and design, certainly the size as well. The TRRS connector is gone; it no longer has one of those.
No. But
they've done instead, this is actually much better, and this is actually, for me, I think this is the best device they've ever made for this reason, and the reason I will definitely be wanting one of these, is because instead of having a TRRS connector, they now have two USB-C connectors at the back, meaning you can connect a computer and a phone via USB-C, or a computer and another computer, but connected straight in. So, for example, I'll give you my setup, right? So for me, I want to demonstrate stuff on the Mac using VoiceOver. I want to demonstrate stuff on the PC using JAWS or Narrator or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Prior to this version of the Rodecaster, what I would have to do is connect my Mac up via USB-C. That would make it available on a channel so I can record the content coming from it, so I can sit here and do a little demonstration and say, here's how it works on VoiceOver, and I can record my voice separately and VoiceOver separately, and that's great.
Yeah.
But in order to get the PC into the mix, I've got to connect it via a good old-fashioned 3.5mm jack, which usually brings with it noise.
Right.
So you get lesser quality coming from the other device. And that doesn't happen when you've got USB-C. So it solves that problem. So you suddenly have the ability to connect up two computers to this thing, and you've got a brilliant audio connection. And of course, it's all customizable. You've got full control over all of that. You've also got individual processing capabilities, so you can make the voice sound better. You can take a regular microphone. You can plug in a really top-end mic like the Shure SM7B that everyone loves and raves about. That sometimes needs a cloud lifter, they call it. It's a piece of kit that really just brings up the noise a bit, or allows the noise floor to be raised a bit so it can match this particular microphone's needs. That goes away with this because the preamps have been improved. So, you know, they really have put a lot of effort and thought into this. And the one final area, which I had to say I had real issue with when using it for a show like this, was you have those 8 sound pads. And what you had to do, you could have actually as many sound pads as you wanted, as in you could load up as much stuff as you wanted onto them. Software's not that accessible. I just want to put it out there. But you can, if you can get the audio on there, you can load up lots of different pads. But you only have 8 physical buttons. And in order to change those pads, essentially to move the pads to the next layer of pads, you had to do it all via the touchscreen. And that really put me off because I couldn't do that while I was live. I just couldn't do it. Now they've added 2 extra buttons, which is just a forward and back, a physical forward and back to go between all the different buttons, which I think, you know, is such a simple thing, but that really
physical
does
buttons.
Make the difference. Yeah, and actually, for that kind of purpose, it's great. But what they're calling these now, they're calling them smart pads. So now no longer are they just sound pads. They don't just play music. They can do lots of different things. So they can be MIDI controllers. They can even control software like OBS or Ecamm Live. You know, they'd be able to control.
So if you wanted to switch cameras
or you wanted to change scenes or you wanted to add transitions or you want to add effects visually as well as audibly, you can do all that via those pads as well. And you can have up to 64 different assignable commands via those pads. So, you know, this is very much for the content creator out there. It's very much for the streamer. It's very much for the podcaster as well. As I say, it's coming out around June 12th, I believe, and it's going to come in at a cool $700.
Bargain.
And incidentally, that is the price around the world as well. I'm noticing this with a lot of new products. The price is the same everywhere you go.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I know, it's a bit weird, isn't it? But $700 US, I know for sure, is the price. That's certainly the price that's been announced already with the launch of this.
Now, you've got the first one, and you're going to definitely be buying the second one?
Well, I'm intrigued by this. I mean, I think that the only... There's one other area of it, which, of course, is the bone of contention, and that is the touchscreen.
Because it's inaccessible. It's an inaccessible
touchscreen, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's bigger on this one. It's bigger, but equally as inaccessible. It's like when I bought my 75-inch TV. Completely pointless, but it felt good, you know?
It's a bigger blur. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry. God bless them, right? Great bit of kit. And when you used it in London, it was amazing. I was really impressed. Why is it not accessible? Not only that, why is the software that comes with it not accessible? Again, we're back to Logitech. We're back to Stream Deck with Elgato. We're back to Rode. There is absolutely no reason this shouldn't be accessible.
There is now a blind tax on all these devices. And the blind tax is you have to get Ira.
Ira to do it? Yes.
You have to have, or you need someone who's an engineer who, you know, or someone who knows something about this stuff to be able to physically, you know, get their hands on it and fix it. Once it's set up, and obviously the caveat here with this particular one, this new version, is it's all very customizable and it's a fluid customization, so you can change it as your needs change. But for us, it's a set and forget, right? You set it up, you've got it the way you want it, leave it alone. And in my case, for example, with the shows we do, we put our idents on there, we know where they all are, we're comfortable with that. Because we know where everything is. Just leave it.
Most
like
of
that.
The time.
Not always. But yeah, I mean, I am intrigued by this. I think it's a great device. I obviously want to get my hands on one. I am going to be, you know, upping my minutes on Ira in order to take care of it.
Yeah, just remember it's now going to cost you £30 a month or whatever it is, $30 a month to use the inaccessible hardware that you buy. Because as
great,
you said,
it?
it's an IRA tax. Absolutely. Look, Corsair just announced a new gaming laptop, AMD based.
That's right.
No function keys, just a touch bar. But that touch bar runs the Stream Deck software, so you can use, it's almost like a built-in Stream Deck on this laptop.
Wow.
Amazing! Except Elgato software, not accessible. Pointless. Again, we're losing function keys and losing accessibility. It's not good enough.
banging off wall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. And we get so near, don't we? We get so excited by this stuff. But in saying that, you know, I'll definitely be intrigued to try. Right, look, stick around. Some more big tech news stories making the headlines. We'll get into those in a moment.
This is Double Tap Canada. We'll be back in a moment. This is Double Tap Canada. Now, back to the show.
Nearly at the end of the show, but just a quick couple of stories I want to bring up because Amazon have released something new.
Yes. I'm so sorry. Yeehaw!
Oh, thank you. There we go. Thank you.
That was worth the interruption.
And indeed, yeah, that really wasn't. So Amazon are updating, because we saw this week a new Fire HD 7 coming out, which I was like,
yeah.
Wow, really? Another tablet. Wow,
we're
another
terrible.
Tablet.
They are accessible, they're affordable.
Well, this is a funny thing, right? We've just spent the whole episode criticizing companies left, right, and center for inaccessible software. Great products, just inaccessible. Amazon came out with another product which is fully accessible, and we're like, oh, whatever.
Boring.
Yeah, so
we're
boring.
Sorry.
But actually, there is a bit of a difference in the 2022 Fire HD 7, and we don't know for sure if this is going to roll out to previous editions of the Fire HD tablet line. I kind of hope it would. And that is that they're upgrading the architecture behind the software that runs it. So initially, I think it's Android 10 that it's all based on at the moment, and it's moving up to Android 11. Now, it's not Android 11 itself that is running on Fire tablets. They have a version they've created called Fire OS, which is a little bit different, but it is essentially Android, right? It's very, very similar in terms of style as well. And some might even think it's a bit old-fashioned, but actually, in some respects, that's helpful to the way it works. But the biggest issue they have is development. So getting app developers to build the apps for Fire OS is difficult because it's based on an older architecture. So they're hoping that will change with this new update, which will allow them to have a bit more of a modern Android 11-based UI and also, you know, all the back end that allows the developer to utilize. So that's coming in this new edition of Fire HD 7. For 2022, previous editions, we don't know yet if it's going to be possible for it to be updated. A lot of it depends on the capability of the processor inside those previous editions, which came out 2020. Although some of the reviewers I'm reading are saying, you know what, it's not that different. The processor's not massively improved, so there's no real reason why they couldn't upgrade the software. Maybe they will. We don't know. But at this stage, that's where we're at. Also, reading, and I was really hoping to get more information for you today than this, but I've been reading a lot today about Android TV 13, which, you know, if I'm honest, I'm like, is that a thing? But yeah, Android TV 13 is apparently a thing. And their focus is going to be more on multitasking, picture-in-picture, and accessibility features. But I can't find out what any of these accessibility features are.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm assuming it just means that there's more work being done to make TalkBack more usable on Android TV. I would read that as, I mean, not just TalkBack, obviously. Other accessibility features as well.
I get so confused by this. What do they mean by Android TV?
What device runs that?
Well, are they talking about just the set-top TV boxes or sticks? Or are they talking about the actual TVs themselves, you know, the Android-powered TVs? I have no idea.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. What about, Chromecast, what's that running off? That must be Android TV, isn't it?
You know what? I don't know.
I tried it. I got one to try
did,
and play
that's
with.
That's right, yeah.
And it was fine. I mean, it was absolutely fine. It was certainly nowhere near as fluid as the Apple TV is, you know, which I still to this day believe is the best set-top experience. Although, I will admit, the remote control is awful. I hate these touch remotes. The thing I would suggest to anyone as a top tip, if you have an Apple TV and you'd find the remote control either just a bit slippy in your hand, because it is with the way it's built, or it just frankly is just irritating to use, get onto Amazon and get yourself silicone covers. You can get silicone covers for those Apple TV remotes, and it does make them so much easier to handle because it gives it a bit more thickness. And it won't fall out your hand as easily. It won't fall down the side of the sofa as easily.
Tiny, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They're quite irritating, actually, the way they're built. And, you know, it's interesting. I've actually been using the app on the phone, you know, through Control Center.
Yeah.
You can have the Apple TV remote. I actually find that a little bit easier, to be honest.
Yeah, it still has the direct touch area at the top of the screen.
Well, you can set it to have directional buttons as opposed to the direct touch area.
Yeah, which also, if you use the old first gen TV remote, which is just purely buttons, that still works. The newer
that is
ones
the
as
best
well.
Remote they ever made for it. It really is. Absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I don't know. I'll hopefully find out more about Android TV. Again, you're right, actually, now I'm thinking about it. It could be well to do with the TVs, like Sony run Android TV.
Yeah.
Other operators, I guess, do. But yeah, it'd be nice to see some updates coming. And, you know, it'd be nice to understand more about what they're trying to do with accessibility, because it just, to me, television just seems bizarrely so behind. So behind everything
really?
Else.
Really? I've seen a lot of improvement over the last 6 years, let's say.
There's been improvement, but I mean, come on, the rate of improvement, you know, you go on there and the top back is sluggish, or the, and I'm not talking Android,
true.
But
yeah.
Generally the experience is more sluggish.
Yeah.
They made us just so much. It's not like phones, you know, it's not like you have two choices and really that's it. You can have your flavour of top back or voiceover depending on your device, right? It's not like
that's
that
what we need,
world.
Just two TVs.
I'm all for it. Listen, that's it for this week. We're off to Canada. We're off to Canada!
Hey, look out, Canada. We're coming
here
for you.
Here we come. Yeah, we'll be flying over you at some point. If you hear some weird noises, do not look out your window. Okay, we'll be back again next week with plenty more. Whatever that means. We'll be back next week with plenty more. And we'll be in Canada with Mark Aflalo. We'll be in person. It's so exciting. Looking forward to it. Thanks, Sean. Thank you for listening. Catch you next
Thank
time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, and keep your feedback coming. Call 1-844-971-1999 and leave us a voicemail. Email feedback@ami.ca. We're also on Twitter @DoubleTapCanada and on Facebook. Can't wait till next week? Ask your smart speaker to play Double Tap Canada or listen on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening. Catch you again next time.
Join me every couple weeks for the Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther podcast, where we learn about outdoor tech and tips. Plus, we look at news affecting the environment. AMI's Outdoors with Lawrence Gunther is available from your favorite podcast provider.